Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The U.S. Special Representative on North Korea is in Seoul. Stephen Biegun arrived in South Korea today for talks amid a deadline set by the North for the U.S. to make concessions. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has more from Seoul.
Biegun is expected to meet with his counterparts in Seoul and Tokyo this week. He has not commented on whether he might also try to meet with North Korean officials at the border between the two Koreas. North Korea has ratcheted up pressure on the U.S. in recent weeks with rocket and missile tests. It conducted its second test in 2 weeks on Saturday at the Sohae satellite launch site, which analysts believe might have been a rocket engine. North Korea has said denuclearization is no longer on offer, and further talks on that issue would be pointless. Washington says it's not bound by Pyongyang's year-end deadline, but says it is willing to be flexible. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
The leader of Britain's opposition Labour Party has apologized for his party's crushing defeat in Thursday's elections. Vicky Barker has more from London.
When Jeremy Corbyn's predecessor Ed Miliband suffered an election defeat in 2015, he took full responsibility for the loss and immediately stepped down as party leader. Jeremy Corbyn has so far failed to do either. But writing in the left-leaning Daily Mirror and the Observer newspaper today, the Labour leader says, in his words, "I'm sorry that we came up short and I take my responsibility for it." Millions of longtime Labour supporters in central and northern England defected to Boris Johnson's Conservative Party in Thursday's vote based on Johnson's slogan to get Brexit done. It is a promise Johnson now says he intends to keep by the January 31st deadline. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
In Lebanon, anti-government protests heated up overnight in the capital, leaving dozens of people injured. NPR's Lama Larin is in Beirut, where hundreds of thousands of people have taken to the streets for almost 2 months now, demanding change.
Overnight, protesters clashed with security forces. Security forces used rubber bullets and tear gas to disperse the demonstrators. And they say the protesters were throwing rocks at police. Around 46 people were taken to the hospital, according to the Lebanese Civil Defense and Red Cross. Lebanon is facing one of its worst economic crises in decades, and the protesters accuse the ruling class, who've been in power for 3 decades, of mismanagement and corruption. Lama Larian, NPR News, Beirut.
The Hallmark Channel is facing backlash after pulling an ad by the wedding site Zola that shows a lesbian couple kissing at the altar. The network pulled the ads after a complaint from the conservative group 1 Million Moms asked Walmart to remove the content showing same-sex couples. Hallmark says public displays of affection violates its policies but didn't explain why an ad of a heterosexual couple kissing is still running. This is NPR. A new study in Canada shows that 14,000 Canadians have died from opioids in the past 4 years. Dan Karpinchuk reports experts say many of the deaths were caused by illegal drugs contaminated with toxic substances.
In addition to the thousands of deaths, the study found that 17,000 people were sent to the hospital for opioid-related poisoning. The numbers come from a national advisory committee that's studying the epidemic of opioid overdoses across the country. Canada's chief public health officer says fentanyl and other synthetic opioids continue to be the major cause, and she and others say it's a complex problem that will need time to turn around. Experts say that can only come from societal changes that include more harm reduction measures and easing barriers to treatment for those suffering from substance abuse. The worst affected areas are in Western Canada, with Ontario also seeing an increase in opioid-related deaths. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
At the weekend box office, Jumanji, The Next Level, iced out Frozen for the top spot, bringing in an estimated $60 million in ticket sales. The Sony sequel, starring Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart, is a follow-up to the 2017 film. Frozen dropped to second place with $19 million after claiming the top spot for 3 weeks in a row. Disney's animated film crossed the $1 billion mark globally to become the studio's third billion-dollar project, along with the first Frozen and Zootopia. In third place, Knives Out, with an estimated $9 million. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.